a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a brand new day. It is a pleasure to have you here on a 4th of July, believe it or not. Of course, we're recording this program on Thursday during the week, but it is a pleasure to have you joining in on the conversation this morning for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio special 4th of July weekend edition. Tim Hughes in the studios of KSL at Broadcast House. Russ Smith up in the Sky Call camp area of where are you anyway?
Sugar House.
That's right.
Sweetest place in the valley.
That's why they call it Sugar. And Navidauskas is also with us from the mobile unit up there in Morgan Canyon. How are you, sir?
I'm actually in Caseville. I'm just chilling like a Case villain, yo.
Came back down to take your semi-bi-weekly shower or something?
Well, two things. My boys, they left this morning for the backcountry of Yellowstone, so I was down here helping them get all rigged up and packed. And then my wife, a couple branches fell off our tree, so I had to do I was an arbor guy. I had to cut a tree down. She told me it was $2,000 for the bid. I said, well, for that much, I could put my life on the line.
Oh, yeah, so dramatic. Anyway,
it's dangerous, man. It's dangerous.
Well, stay on the ground. Don't climb the tree to cut the branches. That's your first clue. Whatever you can do, stay on the ground.
Well, Finn was up there with his climbing gear and his harness and his helmet, squawking.
Luckily, the neighbors didn't take a shot at him while he was up there in the tree. It's always a pleasure to get back together with you guys. I miss seeing you face-to-face. And for those that have been listening over the last, gosh, how long has it been now? March, April, May, yeah. June, 4 months.
6 years.
We have been social distancing here, so we continue to do that here for the program on another Saturday. Russ, you just got back from the Cowboy State, didn't you?
Beautiful Wyoming, yeah.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah, just... Yeah, I left it to it. Actually, it's kind of weird to get back home at 10 in the morning. You know, it's just kind of a weird thing. Rolled out of here about 3 a.m. and had to run out by Little America, actually. Just one exit past Little America out there. There's so much industry in Wyoming. People will laugh at that because they never see it because it's always 2 miles off the freeway. So you never see it from the freeway. But there's a lot of stuff going on out there.
Yeah,
you know, Wyoming down that road you're talking, is that the, 84, 90, whatever that is? It looks the same as the day in the dark, so you looked at it fine.
Yeah, it's fine. There's nothing to see even in the daylight, so you might as well drive that stretch at night.
I have to disagree. I enjoy the vastness of Wyoming.
And the antelope.
I enjoy going across the 80. I really do.
Hmm. Well, you're the right man for the job, then. You are the right man for the job.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because that Little America out there is in the middle of nowhere, USA.
Well, depends on who you are, you know? I mean, folks in Evanston wouldn't say that. They wouldn't say that in Green River or Rock Springs either.
You're probably right about
that. You
know,
so.
Yeah. You know, someday I'll give you a history lesson about Little America, that road there. It's really quite interesting.
All right. Someday. Not today, I hope.
Good. Sounds good. So, yeah.
I'll put it on my calendar. What are the boys doing up in Yellowstone?
Well, they're hiking back into Heart Lake. They did this last year, and they were able to get in some really, really huge cutthroat. And Mickey, he's got this cutthroat problem, and They go. He looks at all strains, and there's a. It's like their own strain. It's a ball back in there. It's a serious hike, and it's the first time they got in there without one of Russ's sat phones. And yeah. I said, I'll run and get a sat phone for you. And he goes, no, it's all right, Dad. You know, it's heavy. It's weight. And I go, oh, my gosh, you know how your mom's going to worry every last second while you're gone. And then I call. I said, I'll tell you what, you might need to call the show. That's why I gave you a shout out there, Tim. But couldn't do a call, so they were fine without it. But that's where they are. They got their, my famous Yellowstone George fly and a bunch of and they're going to go after those cuts.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Mike, we need to get those guys a tracker. It hardly weighs anything. They have two-way text messaging. They can let Mom know where they're at. Actually, Mom can get on the computer and watch where they're at.
You know, and she would totally do that 100%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need to do that. That's a great call. You know, you should just give me a price. And I'll buy it because these guys go every weekend somewhere.
My mother and we'll Russ knows this story because my mom printed out copies of all of the maps for us to have when we got back. But my mother actually followed our adventures a couple of times on our rides when we were doing crazy stuff. Yeah. And every day she looked forward to sitting down with her coffee or whatever in front of the computer and just tracking us. She knew immediately when we stopped for lunch or where we were or if we sat too long, she was worried about what was going on. And then she put together a little book for us at the end of our trip. So those really are fantastic little devices. They don't cost much either, do they?
No, they're not much. I mean, they're $450 for the larger one. And then we have the mini tracker, which is a quarter of the size for just $350.
Yeah.
And you know, he had one of those.
Off that.
He had one of those when he did the Europe tour with his backpack. I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember my wife back in the computer room, she go, he's moving again.
Which is always a good sign. We have movement. All right.
Tim?
Yeah.
I was going to tell you, I still have all that track on my computer.
Do you really?
I have. You should see. I always show this to customers because it impresses them. I have tracks of everywhere I've been on different trips, up into Canada and back east and all over the place. And you know what they say when they see that?
Hmm.
Wow.
That's it.
You've been driving a lot.
Let me tell.
I say wow because you can do it like a computer.
Let me tell everybody what's coming up on the show today. We're going to talk a lot. We're going to talk a lot of fishing, and Navi knows we're getting into the hot spot of summertime here. Actually, going to have normal temperatures, believe it or not, for the next week. Temperatures in the 90s during the day, 65 at night. But that leads a lot of people up into the higher country, and there's some fishing news from up high that we'll share with you. But also. Faith Jolly is going to be joining us. We thought we might be connecting with one of their biologists. He was unavailable today, but we love having Faith Jolly on the show, and she will be joining us at the top of the next hour, mapping out some of what they have highlighted as hot spots for you to head to do some fishing this weekend. So we'll look forward to that. We'll, of course, have Fish Bites with Navadomskis coming up. I was hoping I'd be able to connect with Adam Eichel. He put a post on his Facebook page a couple of days ago. They just returned from the Wind Rivers. And, you know, you're talking about a guy that used to help produce Doug Miller's show and then took over when Doug passed and has so many adventures under his belt all over Utah, certainly, but all over the country and all over the world. And he lists the Wind Rivers as one of his top five after all those years. And we've heard that before from people that go up there. I think Charlie's actually spent some time in the Winds, hasn't he?
Don't you remember that helicopter had to come get him?
What was that, Navi?
Well, don't you remember when the helicopter went in there to get him out of there?
Was that the Winds, or was that just up in the Winds?
Yeah, that's the Winds. Oh,
yeah, that's the Wind Rivers.
Up there with his goats.
Wow.
Yeah. The boys did the Winds every year, too.
Yeah. But to hear somebody like Adam talk so highly of it and that it makes his top five list or top 10 list, I thought, man, we got to get him on to talk about it. I think they're going to air that episode on his television program the first week of August. So he's headed to Lake Powell next week. When he gets back, we're going to connect and we'll talk more about that. Our one tank trip of the week this week takes us back down to Beaver, Utah, in that area. And we're going to be making the connection with Bob and Mark again. And they'll also have the tourism office head on the air with us. So we're going to talk about that as a place to get away this weekend. We had some fun this morning on Utah's Morning News and had a performer by the name of Tim Gates, who is working Ebenezer's down at Ruby's Inn. Yeah, we were down there, a month or so ago, Russell?
Yeah.
And Ebenezer's,
that's right.
Ebenezer's is open for dinner now to go along with everything else that's happening at Ruby's and Bryce Canyon, and it was fun to hear some of his music and be able to talk a little bit more about Ruby's as a place to get away this weekend. They still have some crazy great deals down there that pricing, I think, take you all the way back into the 70s. This pandemic has sent a lot of these companies on their heels, but business is coming back. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that this morning for those that may have been listening to Utah's Morning News. So we'll do that. We'll get some news of the week coming up here in just a minute. So you guys sit tight. We'll take our first break of the program and come back. Going to talk a little glamping here today. And, Russ, you know something about that with
yeah.
Ranger Stan's involvement with Under Canvas up there in Wyoming. Yeah.
Right. Well, she's in Montana.
Montana, sorry. Yeah.
But that's just where her office is. They've got sites all over the country now.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that when we come back with your news of the week coming up next. Stay with us.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Time for a little news of the week here before we get you another news update on the half hour, and a pleasure to have you with us, Tim, Russ, and Navi here. I mentioned leading into the break that we were going to talk a little bit of glamping. Ranger Stan, your daughter, works for Under Canvas up in Montana.
That's right.
Which made me, my eyes really follow this headline about a glamping resort that was proposed near or is proposed near Zion National Park, and I thought maybe it was Under Canvas, but it's not. And boy, there's some controversy surrounding this. We've had the article for a few weeks on our KSL.com website, and we just haven't had time to get to it. But the company, instead of Under Canvas, this one's called Above Zion, which is probably not a coincidence that they chose Above instead of Under, because Under Canvas is one of the more popular or well-known glamping companies out there. For those who don't know what glamping is, Russ, go ahead and explain it.
Well, it's definitely not camping, but it's in a tent.
Yeah.
So it's like a five-star hotel with rooms in very high-end tents with running water and heat and
showers. Everything
else. Yeah, it's an all-inclusive type resort environment where your meals are in a beautiful dining room with a chef, and your linen gets changed every day. And there's also a lot of excellent activities, you know, they provide for you. It's really a nice place. We all took a look at a room, didn't we?
We did.
At Yellowstone.
Some of those tents are beautiful.
Oh, they all are.
Yeah.
I was impressed with the common areas, where the check-in was and everything was all under canvas, and I can't believe the beautiful tents they built.
Yeah. I want to make sure we draw a real distinction here. This is not Under Canvas that is proposing this down around Zion, but
right.
it has caused some controversy. Late last year, a St. George real estate broker filed some applications to develop up to nearly 3,000 camping sites. 3,000.
Wow.
Including yurts, tents, village trailers, shipping containers, even tree houses near Kolob Reservoir and the park's lava point about 25 miles up the winding Kolob Terrace Road. Now, that's part of the concern for people is that there are no guardrails up those roads. There's some pretty steep drop-offs. But mostly they'd be concerned about, you know, what it does to those areas that are now remote or mostly remote. And that it would bring so many people to the area, they're afraid of spoiling what they have in their own backyard for those that live down there.
Right. The roads just have a hard time taking that kind of traffic. I watch, you know, Matt's recovery down there, and he's constantly pulling cars off of the road to under canvas in the mud and in the snow, you know, when the season is wet.
Yeah. So anyway, there's obviously some people. There's a petition going around. About 12,000 people signed a petition on a website, change.org, asking the county to reject or at least scale back the proposal.
Yeah.
But, you know, you wonder if something like this would even be approved to go through on a smaller scale than what they're proposing. Under canvas did come up in this article, however. It said glamping-style resorts are under development elsewhere in Washington, Kane, and Garfield counties, whose commissioners have raised concerns that they evade some of the regulations that normally apply to tourist accommodations and would tax county services. But none of the others, like Under Canvas, approach the magnitude of what they're proposing up there, which would combine about 1,700 acres and various sites to accommodate. Yeah. A lot of different camping likes and dislikes. If you want to read more into it, and I'm sure the folks down in that part of the state are probably more familiar with what's going on than we are up here, but if you want to read more about it, you can go to KSL.com, and it's under the Outdoors portal or Outdoors page if you want to take a look at it. And then I want to throw this story out there. Let me see if I can actually I have to be able to do two things at once, which is not easy for me sometimes. I apologize. This story came up this week on Utah's Morning News, and I thought, oh, boy. And I don't know if you've seen the videos of the guy that got in trouble for jumping into the Bass Pro fish tank. Did you see this?
No.
Navi, you?
No.
It wasn't you.
No.
Okay. Of course it wasn't, because it wasn't in Utah. Some guy on a TikTok dare. And, of course, if you're going to be dared by somebody on your TikTok, you must do what you've been dared to do, right? This guy, and his last name is Armendariz, I think is how you pronounce it. Daniel Armendariz, 27, best known for his plunge into the Bass Pro fish tank at the Gulf Coast Town Center back in May, has evidently been arrested again. He is facing second-degree misdemeanor charges for getting into the fish tank, first of all, which now they've got to drain because it's been contaminated. So they got to get all those fish out of there, and then they have to decontaminate the stupid thing because this guy was following a dare on TikTok. Anyway, deputies arrived to find him again in trouble getting out of a vehicle that had a pump-action shotgun and over 200 rounds of ammunition inside. Hence the reason he was probably shopping and then jumped in at Bass Pro Shops. He had to buy some ammo. Despite numerous commands from deputies, he refused to exit the vehicle. The suspect refused. Deputies say he was forcibly removed from the vehicle, resisted arrest at first, but was eventually detained. To be honest, I don't think it was a TikTok dare. I just don't think there's much upstairs here.
No, probably not.
He actually started banging his head and feet against the doors of the patrol vehicle. So he's not having a good week or a good month, I guess we should say, because he got in trouble more than a month ago for jumping in the Bass Pro fish tank. So anyway, there's a little news of the week. More of the unusual stuff that makes our list of crazy things in the outdoors. Stay with us. We'll have more coming up in just a minute.